morning. This morning, I'd like to speak on is some of Paul's prayers in the Bible. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for this privilege, O God, to look into thy word. We thank thee that we have access into thy presence in the name of thy Son, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for these prayers that have been recorded in the word of life, and that they are for us, Lord, to help us to take it in, to learn. We pray that the church here will be built up, and we pray that Jesus Christ will be magnified. We pray this, Father, in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the prayers of Paul. Now, we have in the Bible, we have many prayers in the Old Testament we can look at. We have, we're so blessed to have the prayers, many prayers of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels that we can look at and learn, to imagine to be there to be with our Lord when he was praying. And so we can look at those for patterns. Everything that was put in the Bible is for us. So, not every prayer of Paul's is in the Bible, but we have some. We have quite a few. So I want to look at some of them today for us. And just even Brother Jordan, talking about the prayers, some of the requests that we have. And many requests. And on Wednesday evening, we're praying for people that are sick, praying for people for temporal things, praying for people that are saved, to be saved. That's a wonderful thing. We don't see those prayers. We don't see Paul praying for those things. And does that mean he didn't pray for them? No, I believe he did pray for those things. But what we have, what I want to bring out is we have many, many commandments in the Bible. Commandments for us to live. The life of a Christian is the requirements, the commandments are impossible for the natural man to do. They're supernatural. It's the life of Christ is what God is pleased in, and that's what God wants to live, have us live through. So these prayers, and I've been looking at them, and we'll try to bring out some of the commandments that God gives us as believers, how we're to walk, what we're to do. These are the very things that Paul is praying for. And so for us, it's, for us to want to live the life that's required of us, that would please God, it's really important that we can learn from the prayers. Paul prayed for people that they'd be able to do that. And I think we can know something from the Bible that we're supposed to do, do we forget to pray that we can do that, to ask God to help us do it? And so that's what I want to look at. But just to touch on things like, should we be praying for people, when they're sick? And of course, yes. And I believe Paul did too. Paul prayed for himself. He had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan, and he prayed to God three times that he would remove it. There was a man named Epaphroditus. We find him in Philippians. And he was a fellow worker with Paul. He was a fellow soldier. He ministered to Paul. Paul would have loved this man. It says that he was sick even unto death. And Paul said that God, in his mercy, healed him. And he said, not only him, but me, because if he didn't, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. I cannot imagine him not praying for that man. If he had died, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. So he would have prayed. He wasn't here on earth when the Lord Jesus was here teaching his disciples, but he had time after he met the risen Christ, the risen head, and many revelations that Jesus gave him. I think it was 3 years in Arabia he was learning. Jesus actually taught him much. So he would have taught him these things. And so some of the things that Paul would have done, when the Lord was asked by his disciples to teach us to pray. The Lord said, first he said, when you pray. Okay, when you pray. He also said in Luke chapter 18 that men must always pray. The Lord would teach us that and we'll see that Paul imitated this. He prayed without ceasing for people. When you pray, we must always pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. He would have prayed that way. He would have prayed reverently. Holy God, he would have prayed to our Father. He would have prayed, the Lord Jesus, before he went to the cross, in the upper room, he told many times, like maybe five or six times, he brought out that from now you're going to pray in my name. Ask in my name. And so Paul would have prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's why we pray in his name. We pray to our Father who is in heaven. He's holy. And that thy will be done. Paul would have, as he knew the will of God, he would have prayed for that. And so we can, I remember right after I was saved and coming to a prayer meeting, and I remember Brother Pete saying to me, he goes, it wasn't that long ago, I don't know if you remember this, Pete, it wasn't that long ago when we were praying for you. So these saints that were here then were praying for me to be saved. So did Paul pray for people to be saved? We don't have it recorded, but of course he did. He did. Paul, he would say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He loved the gospel. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. This wouldn't be 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Our Lord Jesus, when he was here, everything he taught, he did. The Lord never gave us commandments that he himself didn't do. Paul himself he tried to imitate the Lord Jesus. So when Paul gives commandments, through Paul, when God gives commandments through Paul, Paul did those things. It wasn't like he would tell you what to do and not do them. So here's a prayer that Paul, that we have recorded, that Paul, instruction for us in prayer, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will, it's his will that all men would be saved. It's a wonderful thing to talk to people and tell them, do you know what God's will is for you? And there's many things in the Bible that talks about his will, but one of his wills, God's will, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, and you're not saved, God, it's his will that you be saved. He's not willing that you perish. He's long-suffering towards you. He is not willing that you perish, but that you would repent. So if you're not here today, if you are here today and you're not saved, God's will is that you be saved. Christ died for your sins. You realize that you're the sinner that Jesus died for, and by believing, putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, in him alone, and you can have salvation. Be saved for eternity. Okay, that's God's will for you. That's just the beginning. So if you're not saved, I pray that today would be the day that you believe God. So Paul would pray for people to be saved. Can you imagine? He said, talking about the gospel, he said, of which I have been made a minister according to the grace of God by the power that worketh in me. For unto me, who am the least of all the saints, has this grace been given, that I may preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He loved the gospel. And he would, I'm sure he would pray, just as he told Timothy, that he prayed that all men would be saved. He prayed that. So that's a good thing to pray. That's one of the good prayers when we pray for people's souls. But Paul, he not only wanted to see people saved. Sometimes we rejoice that somebody's saved, but that's not the end of it. God's desire is that there's a pattern of a new believer. You believe, you get baptized, you come into a local assembly. Paul's desire was, he said, this is in Colossians 1:27, chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. When people were saved, Paul's desire was that they would be made perfect. Obviously, that was Paul's desire. And he would often record or often rehearse his salvation day. He loved that. And he would talk about how he got saved and the mercy and grace from God that would save him and put him into the ministry. I think he lived for today with a view to that day when he was going to stand before his Lord. That's what Paul cared about, was I want to finish well. I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before the Lord. And do we have this desire, as we see each of us here today, as our desires, our prayer, that each of us would be well-pleasing and would not be ashamed when we stand before the Lord. Now, if you're saved, it's you're saved, and it's not judging you for your sins, but our life lived after we're saved will please God. Paul's desire was that he would, and he wanted everybody else. His desire was that they would be perfect. He strived for that. And not that you can do it in your own strength. And that's why we want to look at his prayers, because the things that please God are the things that Paul prayed for others to do. So maybe I'll look at, for example, we'll look at, let's see, I'm going to look at a couple of different prayers. The first one will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But this is to bring out my point. The Lord Jesus, in the upper room in John 13, 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you love one another. And he said, by this, all men will know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. So there's a commandment that Jesus gives, that we are to love one another as he loved us. How did he love us? He laid down his life for us. Now that's supernatural. How I can love you the same way Jesus loved me? 1 John brings it out a lot. The love of the brethren. That's supernatural. It's supernatural. So that's a commandment, though. Right? And naturally, we think of self. We love self. But we're to love one another as Christ loved us. And so let's look at a couple. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and then Philippians chapter 1. So just now, I'm just going to go through some of these prayers. And what we want to make these as examples for us to pray, that we pray these. When we go look at these prayers, you can pray these for me, okay? I would really appreciate that, because I want to do this, but I have a difficult time. Of course, I can't do it in myself. It's got to be, so we'll see this. It's got to be the Lord doing it through us. So 1 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 11. Now the God himself, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. So he's praying that our love would increase and abound. That's overflow. He's praying that that will happen. That's what God is desiring in us. So we pray for this to happen. And we pray for each other that our love would increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men. And he says in verse 13, to the end, you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That's a prayer. And so we see that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I mentioned how Paul has that view of the judgment seat of Christ, what we read about in the Bible, that when a believer is going to stand before his Lord. And Paul's desire was that we would be like here, unblameable and holy before God and even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is one coming, okay? But there's different parts of it. The first thing that's going to happen is our Lord is going to take us out of here. It's what we call the rapture. He's going to take us out of here, and then it's going to be a very, very troublesome time on this earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. Thankfully, many will be saved during that time. But God is removing everything that offends him. And at that same time, we're going to be going through the judgment seat of Christ. And again, for us, it's everything that offends God that's in us is going to be taken away. We're going to be happy. Okay, we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. Right? That's what's going to happen to us. It's amazing, right? That we're going to be like Christ. But right now is when he wants, right now is our time that we should be striving for that now. Our salvation won't be complete until we go through that judgment seat of Christ. But God's desire is that we be blameless and holy before him. And so when he speaks about the second coming, lots of times we'll see included in that is like he said, you know, we should abide in him, that we will not be ashamed at his coming. And so we're going to look at that through some of the scriptures that we look at. You know, just that Paul has that view, and he's praying for us now, and that we would stand before our Lord and not be ashamed. So let's look at Philippians. Well, while we're here, let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians for a second. There's one more prayer. I would consider it a prayer. Speaking about love, this love, and this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And again, a prayer. So chapter 3, verse 5, Paul prays, "And the Lord direct your hearts, guide, remove any hindrances, direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient," as King James says, "patient waiting for Christ." Other translations, that waiting for is not really there. It's the patience of Christ. But W.E. Vine translates it this way, and I think he gets that verse. And, you know, this could be a prayer. W.E. Vine says, this is how he translates this verse: "The Lord teach and enable you to love as God loves. The Lord teach and enable you to love as God loves, and to be patient as Christ is patient." That's a beautiful prayer. That the Lord would teach us and enable us to love as he loves. Sometimes we pray, and it's so thankful, as our Lord Jesus was here, he looked on the multitude of people, and he was moved with compassion for them. And that's a good prayer for us, right? To be moved with compassion for the lost, and to love them, to love as God loves. We can pray that for each other. Let's see, Philippians chapter 1. This is a prayer, actually, Brother Andrew, two weeks ago, was speaking in Philippians, and so he went over this prayer. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. This is again, a prayer that Paul prayed. And so we can pray these prayers for each other, right? And Paul prayed this. In verse 9, it says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." That abound, it's like to overflow. And he's praying that our love may abound more and more, but with knowledge and discernment. You have to have boundaries on love. It's like a river is overflowing. And if it overflows its boundaries, it can cause a lot of damage. We need these boundaries. So so he prays this, but with knowledge and discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent. So then we're able to decipher what's good, what's excellent, so that we may be sincere, that's pure and without offense, till the day of Christ, with that view of that day when I have to stand before Christ. This is his prayer. He wants us to be sincere and without offense till that day, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And that's a good prayer. Pray that our love would abound more and more, knowledge and discernment, and that we'd be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. This is what he prayed for these people. Another prayer, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The prayers, probably maybe the deepest prayers that Paul, that I see, are in Colossians chapter 1 and in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. So hopefully you're going to look at those two also. But this this prayer in Colossians chapter 1. First, before we go there, we're right next to Ephesians. Let's look at some verses in Ephesians. To bring out now, in Ephesians we have the first three chapters. Maybe to summarize it is all that we have in Christ. If you're not in Christ today, you're missing everything. Okay, you've got to get to be in Christ. Every blessing is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. Forgiveness of sins is in Christ. You've got to get into Christ. That's the whole purpose, is to get into Christ. And so he goes through in Ephesians, the first three chapters, speaking a lot about that and what God has done for us. And it's a beautiful, just looking through it, you know, accept it in the beloved. You know, there's so many things that we are in Christ. And so then in chapter 4 now, okay, so now since God has done all this, now he says, I therefore, because of this, there's a requirement on what God has done. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've been called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That is supernatural. Long-suffering, God is long-suffering. How can I be long-suffering? Low, meek, taking that position. This is supernatural living, and only God can do it. And so Paul's praying that we would do these things. Chapter 5, he says, verse 1, be ye there followers of God, imitators of God as dear children. We're to imitate God. We're to be like him. You know, if you're a child of God, you should be like your father. You should be learning from him and learning his characteristics, and you should be living that way. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's a commandment for us to do. Verse 8, he says, for ye were in times past darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So that's a commandment. For the fruit of the Spirit, or the light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. King James says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I like a different translation, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Okay, as we walk in the light, we can learn and discern what is pleasing to the Lord, and that should be our desire. We want to please him. Verse 15 says, see then that you carefully walk, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So then be not unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. So God wants us to understand what the will of the Lord is. So just thinking of all those things that we just read about, and now let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and see the prayer that Paul prays. And you can see he's praying for these very things that we're commanded to do. And it's wonderful. It's such a blessing. And this is why God's way of doing things. We gather together unto him in a local assembly. We pray for one another. You know, if we could get a hold of these prayers and pray these for each other, can you imagine? He's doing for me. I mean, many of you are so godly saints, but you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, we are part of something, in the life that we could live, the potential. So he says in verse 9, and this is good too, because it brings out, you know, when the Lord said to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Okay, we have our individual prayer lives, okay, but our Father, the corporate prayer is very important. And we see here, other times, Paul would, into the church of Thessalonians, when it was Paul, Silas, and Timothy, he wrote the letter to it. He said, you know, we thank God for your praying always for you. We're praying. You know, can you imagine the three of them and maybe others getting together and praying for that church? Here, Timothy and Paul write this letter, and so at least those two were what he's talking about, and they were getting together and praying. Imagine being part of those prayer meetings. And he says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Do not cease to pray for you. We're commanded, right, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ again said, we must always pray, lest we faint. So Paul prayed many times throughout the scriptures. He'll talk about praying without ceasing. And that doesn't mean 24/7 he was praying for an individual, but when he would pray often, and he would pray for them when he prayed. And we can do that. Pray without ceasing. Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, this is it's a pretty marvelous passage, 1 Samuel 12 and 22. It said, for God will not forsake his people for his great namesake, for it's pleased the Lord to make you his people. And then Samuel says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I would sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but to teach you the good and right way. And he says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with your whole heart, considering what great things the Lord has done unto you. But Samuel said, God forbid that I sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You know, we're commanded to pray. We're told in 1 Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing. So let's take it for what it is. But the responsibility we have, parents praying for their children, husbands for their wives, wives for their husbands, us praying for the elders, the responsibility we have, we've been told to pray. Paul took it seriously. He ceased not to keep praying for them. And he says, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. I often remember the verse from 1 Chronicles 12:32, the children of Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel was to do. We need to have this understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Unsaved people can read the Bible and get knowledge. Many people do. They know a lot about the Bible, but they don't understand it. We get knowledge from the Word of God, but we need God to give us understanding of what we're reading and the wisdom and how to use it, discernment and how to use it. And he'll do that. He wants to do that. And it's his will. So we can be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's a marvelous prayer. And then so in verse 10, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We just read in Ephesians all the requirements of how we're to walk. And so he's praying that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then being fruitful in every good work. The fruit, I'll say, is that what the fruit that God is looking for in his people is to be like Jesus, to be like our Lord. That's the fruit. If we are like Christ, everything else will flow. And so he's praying that we'd be fruitful. John 15 talks a lot about how we can bear fruit, abiding in him, him abiding in us, his word abiding in us. Then we'll bear much fruit, and our Father will be glorified. And he said, being fruitful in every good work. We are to be people of good works. Good works don't come naturally to the natural man. Good works benefit to others. It doesn't come natural. In fact, in our flesh, we can't please God. There's many people that do a lot of good things. I'm thankful for that. But what's their motive, right? I know one person. I remember when I was a kid. She used to do all this work for my grandma, and as a kid, I could tell she only did it so she could tell us how great about the work she was doing. So, what was it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. But good works, we are to be, the Lord said, that let our light shine before men, that they would see our good works, and our Father in heaven would be glorified. So good works are things we need to do. We should be, Titus, we want to read about good works in Titus. End of chapter 2, it says we should be a people zealous for good works. Chapter 3, it says that we're to be ready for good works. We're to be prepared for good works. It says that we should put it in our mind to think about, like, how am I going to do good works today? Think about it when you start the day off. And that we're actually to learn to do good works. So it's really important that we do good works for the right reasons, so our Father in heaven will be glorified. And so he's praying that we'd be fruitful in these good works. And that we increase in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11, to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now, to do what, right? To walk on water, to open the blind eyes, to raise the dead? No. Be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This power from God that he wants to give us is so that we can live the life, that supernatural life that our Lord lived here. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is like, I mean, that's only a characteristic of God. He's long-suffering towards a world that hates him, that curses his name, and he doesn't take it to heart. And he is being offended. He's caring for that person. He's longing for that person. He's suffering, waiting for that person to repent. That's supernatural. We want to get vengeance against people that do us wrong, naturally. And to do it with joy, do it joyfully. Our Lord, he served his Father and lived that life with joy to please his Father. It wasn't because I have to do it because my dad said so type of thing. You know, if you're a child and your father or mother ask you to do something, and if you love them, you want to please them, you want to do it just to please them. Not because I have to, because I might get in trouble. Do it with joy. This is supernatural. And this is what Paul prays for these Colossians, that they would have this, do this. To be able to live that supernatural life. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, another one of Paul's prayers. Amazing. When you look at these prayers and to take it in that this is really what the desire is that we would do from these prayers, it's like we fall short. I fall short. But we need to do this. We need to pray so that we can do it. He says in verse 15 of chapter 1, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Just to stop for a second here on that is that I've seen some, especially some of the children that have professed faith, and some of them I believe are really saved, and I don't see they love all the saints. Of course we just talked about that, and there's many things that I see in people that just got saved or whatever, or been saved a long time, and they're not doing it. And then I look at myself and say, well, have I been praying? Have I been praying these prayers for them? Was I praying about their love abounding and increasing? No, I have to confess I haven't been. And so we want to see this. But Paul said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He was so thrilled to hear this about these believers, right? Making mention of you in my prayers. So what was his prayers? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wants us to know these things. He wants to give us, again, we just looked at Colossians 2, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And he gives the light. He's the one who opens our eyes. We can pray for these things like pray sometimes some of the Psalms, Psalm 133, that open my eyes so I would see wonderful things from thy law. Pray those prayers. Proverbs 2, beginning of Proverbs 2, if my son, if you hear my words and hide my commandments within you so that you incline your ear into wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you call out for discernment and lift up your heart for understanding, seek her for as silver, search for her as a hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we pray for this, that he would open our eyes and give us this. And so why? Well, just one verse I'd like to just apply with that is Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law." The secret things of God, the mysteries and stuff that we read about the Bible, it's just things haven't been revealed yet. He wants to reveal those things to us. He wants us to know these things. So that, verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is available to us. The power that raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. And right through the heavenlies, where all the principalities, rulers of darkness, the wicked spirits are, we can go there in prayer, right through. But that power that is towards us, the exceeding greatness of his power. He wants us to know the hope of his calling, what we've been called into. Each of us have a purpose in life, but the main thing is we've been, he saved us to become like his son. Peter talks about the calling of the eternal glory that is ours. The riches of that glory. I mean, he'll talk about the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory. I mean, if God gave us just a little measure of his glory or his grace, but he's given us according to the riches of his glory, according to the riches of his grace. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? An inheritance is a possession. And actually, the Bible speaks about us being his inheritance and him being our inheritance. It's a mutual, it's a possession. The children of Israel possessed land. It was their inheritance. The Levites' possession was the Lord. David would say, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He's our inheritance. We're his, and it's mutual. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That's why Paul would pray, and he'd talk a lot, he'd say, my God. It was personal. My God. I mean, it's so wonderful to read Paul when he talked about that. I thank my God on every remembrance of you, he'd say. My God will supply every one of your needs. It was a personal thing. My God. This is the inheritance, a possession. He's mine and I'm his. And the power, again, let's look at, I'm going to look at chapter 3. This prayer, I'm going to close here with this prayer. In chapter 3, Ephesians verse 14. And this prayer is, to me, it's just the most amazing prayer that I see by Paul and what he's praying for. Paul, in verse 14, says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And you're going to see four of that. Four times you're going to see that. So it's like, so that. And, this will happen, right? So verse 16 says, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." That's a continuous strengthening. He prays that we would be continually strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. If we don't have that power, that strength from the Holy Spirit in us, we can't do anything. And so for all these things, We need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your man. We cannot do this in ourselves. It's impossible. And then he says, that. And this probably is this and one other phrase is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We know those of us reading the Bible that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. This is saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell is to settle down, is to dwell in a fixed place, permanently reside, to be at home. His prayer is that Christ may be at home in your heart. That's just amazing that our God, our great God, would humble himself and come and live in our heart. The Lord Jesus in John 14:23 said, Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, the Father and the Son. If you love him and keep his words, the Father will love you, and the Father and the Son will come and live with you, in you. So we're thinking with the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. But it's if there. And, you know, some of these things, it's experientially. Can we experientially take this in? When you run into people that are, they've been with Jesus. I mean, just their manners is like the characteristics of Christ just pour out. They're walking with Christ. Only two can walk together, only if they agree. And you talk to these people, and you're like, they're so like the Savior. You know, it's a marvel when you come to them. Those are the ones who Christ is dwelling in their hearts. He's having that fellowship with them. You're having that communion with them. And if he's there, you're going to speak the words that he speaks. You're going to do the works that he does. You're going to be full of love that he's the love of him. You know, it's an amazing thing that this Paul prays that this would happen for us, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that he'd be comfortable in us. In the assembly, we want him to be comfortable here, right? We want him to be at home here. He's in the midst, right? We read in the book of the Revelations, the last churches, the church of Laodicea, and he's knocking on the door. He's not even welcome. He says, if any man will open up, I'll come in and commune with him, fellowship with him. He so desires to have that fellowship with us. We want him to be at home here in the assembly, but in our own hearts, each individual heart. Then he goes on, he says that you be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted, agricultural term, right? Taking root so that you grow. Grounded, architect maybe, foundation, and then build on that. Rooted and grounded in love. And then verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now this is a prayer that we would be able to do that. You know, the breadth of the love of Christ, the length, the depth, the height. We know he loved his own to the end. We know he so loved the world. The depth that he came, how low he came, taking our place, dying on a cross for our sins. The love of Christ, to know it. He wants us to know it. And then, to the end of verse 19, that, another that. And then this one here, it's just, what does this mean? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a prayer that Paul's praying for these people. We can pray this, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. And what does that mean? Let's take a look at Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 1. At the end of verse 18, it says that in all things he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. In him all fullness should dwell. Chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. You are in him made full. You and him lack nothing. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he prays that in you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's amazing. That's amazing. He says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding, just think about that. What we just read is like, that's impossible, right? That's impossible. But he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. It's possible with God. Abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's that power. We need that power. Paul talked about it, when he said he's a minister of the gift of, according to the gift of the grace of God by the effectual working of the power in me. Paul did not do these things in his strength. Paul, what a godly man. We can look and imitate him. It was by the power of God in him that he did this. And that same power is working in us. And then he says in verse 21, unto him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to close with that. And I hope we take a look at these prayers. There's many other prayers that Paul did. Paul said, about our unity. If you look in Romans 15 about that, different prayers. May we pray these for each other. We pray these for each other, and be able to live the life that's pleasing to our Father in heaven. So I hope it's an encouragement to look into these prayers and keep praying for the temporal needs. We're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything we're to pray, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let our request be known to God. Pray for people to be saved. Pray for people that are sick. Pray for the different cares that we have. We need to do that. It's good to do that. But don't forget the spiritual prayers. Don't forget the prayers that I believe God gave us these prayers so that we can pray them, to teach us how to pray. So I'm just so thankful. Thankful for all of you. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness and kindness towards us. We thank you for the Word of God, which tells us these things. They're amazing, awesome truths. And with us, we can't do it, Father. We don't have the strength, we don't have the desire in ourselves to do these things, because it's impossible. We thank you that with you all things are possible. We thank you for this gathering, this local assembly, Father. We pray that our Lord Jesus would be at home here, that he would be at home in each of our hearts, that he would be the preeminent one in our lives, that he will be magnified. We thank you for him, Father. We are really, truly the most blessed people. And thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, it is in his name we pray, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.